Well, this week we featured speakers who will be participating in tonight's TEDxKC. The theme, Question Everything, includes our next guest who has questioned the options for survivors of sexual assault. Jessica Lack is the founder and CEO of Sexual Health Innovations that works to create technology that advances sexual health and well-being. She previously worked in the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, and she received her master's in public health at Johns Hopkins. And Jessica, so good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're trained as an infectious disease epidemiologist. How does that training help you in tackling sexual assault issues?
Well, an interesting thing about sexual assault is once you realize how it works on a population level, you realize that these offenders aren't often just one-off committing assault. They're doing it again and again and again. And similar to if you're trying to curb an infectious disease, the most efficient way is to find and stop a core transmitter. In sexual assault, the most efficient way to stop it is to find these repeat offenders earlier on and stop their behavior.
That's what you've been working on. When assaults on campus began making the news, you talked to assault survivors. What did they want that, you know, wasn't available to them at the time?
So they really wanted an online option. So they wanted to feel safe, in control of the process.
Like, and why does online help them with that?
Well, going in person is often really intimidating. You're not sure if you're going to be believed. You don't know who you're going to be talking to. You're not sure what they're going to do with your information.
People ask you hard questions, very direct questions at a time when you're so vulnerable, right?
They do. And it can be really triggering and really hard for survivors if they don't know what to expect.
Okay. And so reporting assaults, you say, is key to lowering the number of occurrences. How so?
Well, right now, there isn't really a deterrent to commit sexual assault. About 99% of rapists get away with it.
So when 99%?
99%. Yeah, less than 10% are even reported. And when they are, less than 6% are ever held accountable.
But I thought most assaults were committed by people who were familiar with the victims. That would suggest to me that number, people wouldn't get away with it so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 85% of college survivors know their assailant. But actually, the better they know their assailant, the less likely they are to report.
Oh, the more familiar they are, the less likely, because?
Because it's complicated, right? There's a lot of complicated emotions around if a friend assaults you. You don't necessarily want to get them in trouble. You don't want to think they're a bad person. You tend to blame yourself. And it's only if you learn that it's a pattern of behavior that you start to feel comfortable coming forward often.
Another concern is the average time between a sexual assault taking place and then the time, Jess, that survivors report it. What is that average time there?
11 months for college survivors.
11 months. So there's all kinds of obstacles to getting these cases cracked, and that's what you were determined to try to figure out here, right?
Exactly. And when you're a survivor and you're taking that long to report, by the time you're coming forward, it's really hard to have high-quality evidence. It's hard to do a good investigation. It's hard for the police and the school administrators as well as the survivors themselves to take any action when they come forward.
Huh. So let's talk about this reporting system that your organization has developed to give these survivors what they're asking for, and I guess what you hope will lead to more effective prosecutions here. Tell us about the system.
Sure. So we allow college survivors to safely come online to a school-specific website called Callisto.
So every school has its own site tailored for that school?
Exactly. So we partner with schools to create these. We partner with them to promote them to students. And students can learn about their reporting options, get a really clear explanation of where they can go, and then they can take one of three actions related to reporting their assault. They can either just save what happened to them time-stamped, preserving evidence. They can report electronically, or they can decide to wait and only report if somebody else names the same assailant.
Huh. Okay. And which option is proven to be the most popular option?
Right now, a ton of users save what happened to them. 30% enter into that matching system where they say, I want to go forward in the event of a match, and 20% are directly reporting, which is twice the national average.
Huh. Okay. And how many schools have you placed this reporting system?
So we just finished our pilot, which was at two college campuses, and we are expanding to five campuses next week and bringing in additional schools throughout the school year.
Well, your timing is extraordinary because in Missouri, our own Senator Claire McCaskill has made this a big issue and has helped really propel it more onto the national stage. Are you seeing a change in thinking here when it comes to sexual assaults and how the country views this?
the last few years have been so dramatic in the way
Extraordinary, right? Yeah.
And in the way that schools think about this and them feeling like they actually have accountability and they actually have to do something about this issue, and survivors feeling like it's safer to come forward, that they're more likely to be believed. So you see this outpouring of support and survivors coming out publicly for the first time who often has never even told a soul about what happened to them.
Yeah. My sense is, and this is just as a guy who I'm a professor up on the Hill here and talk to kids a lot, but my sense is that this current generation, they're more courageous, maybe more determined not to take guff from anybody, including a situation like this, and that the thinking about coming forward is really, they're feeling much more freer to do that.
They are. And every time that they see somebody else do it, right, that inspires that next person to feel safe to come forward. So when the Stanford survivors letter came out, right, that triggered all of these other survivors to speak publicly about what happened to them for the first time, not just because she came forward, but the outpouring of support from the public. That response, that positive response from the general public to a survivor coming forward makes a big difference.
I'm visiting with Jessica Ladd. She's founder and CEO of Sexual Health Innovations. She's developed a new system for reporting sexual assaults on college campuses across the country. If you have a question, if you want to join our conversation, maybe you want to know more about this, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Jess, why do you think that a lot of schools a few years ago weren't taking much ownership over this issue, and a lot of it was just sliding under the radar screen? I mean, you look back on it now and you wonder, how could that be? Why was that going on?
So it wasn't being reported. So often they were unaware of the extent of the problem. But also it wasn't clear to them a lot of the times that they had that legal responsibility. There was a Dear Colleague letter that was issued by the Office of Civil Rights that made it clear that under Title IX, schools are responsible for dealing effectively with this issue. And that only happened a few years ago.
And why did it take so long for the federal authorities to come out and say, yeah, colleges and universities, you're on the hook for these things?
I think it was often just uncomfortable to come forward to talk about it, and legislation's been changing over time. Originally, Title IX was thought a lot about sort of women in sports. So thinking about it more comprehensively, about how do you create a safe and inviting campus to all people, has been an evolution over civil rights law.
Jess, was that the triggering event that made this issue, it put it on people's radar screens across the country? Because, for example, at UMKC, where I work, just up on the Hill here, you know, it's become a big issue. There's, you know, faculty are aware of what they have to do if they come across information about a potential assault, and we're really on point about this now.
Yes, it was. So that legislation change is what then led survivors to start to come forward publicly, because they were now able to say, school, you failed in your federal requirement in the way that you were supposed to treat me. So they were able to come forward to start to talk to press, start to come public about their experience, which then led to this cascade of other events that took place.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Tina here from Lee Summit. Tina, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for putting this topic up. My question is, would your guests have any plans to introduce this software to schools for younger children, such as high school or junior high age?
Ah.
From what I understand, that if we can do some preventative information at that age, then we might have even less reports in the college age level.
Tina, that's a really interesting thought. Jess?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that when we're talking about consent and teaching young people about how to treat each other, how to respect one another, it absolutely needs to be happening much sooner than college. I would be very interested in adapting Callisto for younger ages. We just need to figure out the appropriate privacy restrictions. It's a little bit harder to protect the privacy of minors when they're using the internet. So we want to think that through before implementing it, but I think it's a great idea.
Well, I hope you will get a chance to try at least.
Thank you.
Tina, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. You know, Jess, I'm just wondering about the notion that folks can file reports online. Do you have a concern that this could increase the risk of false reports going forward?
So we don't allow anonymous reporting, which I think is a pretty key part of this. When we have users who are just saving what happens to them, that's anonymous. But if they want to report or enter into the matching
system... When you say saving, you mean they're just keeping it in their computer and they haven't forwarded it to the university.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're saving it encrypted on our database, time-stamped, but it doesn't go anywhere at that time.
Okay.
It only goes forward if they decide to report it or decide to enter into this matching system.
Okay, okay.
And if they want to do that, they have to authenticate their identity with their school email address. So we know who they are. The school know who they are. A proper investigation can take place.
So bottom line is the idea of false reporting, you're not that concerned about it then, given what's built into this system.
Yeah, I don't see how our system could increase false reporting relative to rates that are currently occurring, which are fairly low. Mm-hmm. About 2 to 8% of sexual assaults are estimated to be false.
Tell us again where you have this system in place now and how that's begun to change the culture at those institutions.
Mm-hmm. So we have at University of San Francisco and Pomona College.
Both in California.
Both in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm based there.
Okay.
And I went
I
went to Pomona College in undergrad.
I knew somebody at Pomona College back in the day.
Ah,
yeah, yeah.
Nice. And overall, students are really happy to have it on campus. I think 90% of the student body at Pomona has heard of it, at least. They have op-eds that students are writing calling on other colleges on the consortium to adopt it. And there seems to be much higher student satisfaction among those who know about Callisto with their existing reporting options.
How is the school marketing the availability of the system?
So it's part of freshman orientation.
Ah.
It's part of RA training. There are occasional email blasts going out to the student body. Flyers around campus. We actually ship them brochures and stickers to have around as swag. And there's sort of this general awareness. And then we work with schools to figure out where are hot spots times of year to make sure that they're re-promoting it around those times to students.
What's a hot spot? What would be a typical hot spot at a university?
Usually it's the beginning of freshman year, around spring break.
The beginning of freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the women coming on campus, a little naive, don't really know the lay of the land, that kind of thing.
And men, yeah. And there's a lot of alcohol often for the first time, drinking for the first time. And it's a combination of young people not quite knowing how to navigate this space and any sort of predators saying, hey, this is a really easy mark.
Hmm. What are some other hot times?
Mm-hmm. Spring break, we found, actually.
Yeah.
Tends to be. And in terms of reporting, you end up with a lot of reports coming in actually at the end of the year, not because assaults are necessarily happening there, but because students are sort of thinking, this is actually my last chance to come forward with this.
How has the system then begun to change the culture? What have you observed at these schools?
So I think there's a lot more discussion about assault. Students think that it's more likely that their school takes sexual assault seriously. They think higher of their school, which we're hoping will play out as a deterrent to assault, right? If I know my school takes it seriously, I know that if I assault another student, I need to be a little bit worried about it.
Do you have a sense that at some schools across the country, there's still some doubt as to whether schools take this seriously or not? Because again, the sense I have is it's changing, but maybe not changing fast enough.
Absolutely. There's a lot of variety in the way that schools treat this issue. Some of them do take it really seriously. Some of them are still in denial. They still like to think that it's not something that happens on their campus.
Huh. Where else do you see Callisto, I mean, this your reporting system having practical applications?
So I think this could work really well in the military. It could work really well. Yeah, yeah. And there you
have... Huge problem.
And you have this combined, all of the issues around why you don't want to report sexual assault, it being confusing, hard to know, you're ashamed, et cetera, combined with all the reasons why you don't report workplace sexual harassment. You're
mm-hmm.
worried about ruining your career and your career path. And so you have both of those at the same time against working against survivors in the military, combined with worrying about, all right, I'm going to stay in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to damage my reputation for the rest of my time here?
Again, at the schools where you do have Callisto in place, the number of reports has increased?
It has, dramatically.
By what percentage again?
Depends on the campus, but by 4 times on one of them.
Wow. Okay. Back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Let's go to Dave from Blue Springs. Dave, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about regional reporting. If you've noticed any differences across the country in how frequent sexual assault is reported.
Jess?
So right now we're just implemented in California, so not within our system. But there is public data that you can look at collected by the Clery, under the Clery Act, that says, all right, what is the reported number of assaults to campuses across different campuses on the country? And what's surprising there is a huge percentage of schools, I think it's upward of 80% of college campuses, report zero sexual assault reports, which given how common we know that sexual assault is based on survey data, is just, it's impossible. So either they're not accurately reporting their numbers, or the climate is so negative around reporting on those campuses that no one's coming forward.
Okay, so another question. So where can I find that information? So if I'm interested just in Kansas City or just in one area, how can I find that out?
If you Google Clery Act sexual assault, you'll find the numbers. It's in a public database. There's also a specific database called HearYe.org that allows you to search by any school and easily see the number of expected number of assault reports compared to the actual.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Another initiative underway at your Sexual Health Innovations is called Clery Plus. Am I saying that correctly?
Correct.
What is that? It's meant to help with campus sexual assault data. How does it do that?
Exactly. So we took that data from the public database, and which was sort of hard to search through and work with, and we cleaned it up. We merged it together across multiple years, and we made it accessible via an API. So the HearYe database that makes it easy to compare different options actually pulls on the data from that API and was an open source application that was built off of it by someone else.
I got 15 seconds left, Jess. Another one of your systems is called So They Can Know, which handles what can be a really uncomfortable and difficult situation. Explain that one to us just real quickly.
So They Can Know, it helps people who've been diagnosed with STDs to notify their partners.
Ah.
So either they can learn about how to have that really awkward conversation, or they can anonymously email their partners to let them know they need to get tested and what for.
Well, interesting work, important work. Jess Ladd is the founder and CEO of Sexual Health Initiatives. She'll be on stage later tonight presenting at TEDxKC. That'll be at the Kauffman Center. The event is sold out, but watch tickets are still available. Go to TEDxKC.org for more information. Jess, it was a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you.